It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day here from the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com in Phoenix, Arizona. My special guest today, we have Matt Bruce from Florida. He is a host of a radio show called the Captain's America Radio Show, the CaptainsAmerica.com. Now, he has a son that's in Afghanistan right now, a third tour, and he's a Marine, and he's in the middle of it. And we have Matt is also, he does another show called Troop Talk Radio that's sponsored by the Department of Defense. So we got somebody that's got some, he's got an opinion, and he's in a position to have an opinion. Now, what we're going to be talking about today is WikiLeaks and how this controversy and what's being released in the terms of information and so on has an impact on the troops. Are they better off, worse off? We're going to get into it. Now, I'm going to let Matt, and everybody knows my opinion, and Matt and I talk for a little bit, and he knows, where I'm coming from. I'm like, give me all the information. When you got it, it is mine, man. I paid for it. So, there's an opinion here, and we're going to find out what Matt's is. I got you there, Matt?
How you doing, Ernest?
I'm more than wonderful, and you?
Well, not too bad on this cool day in Florida.
Oh, well, we're having a nice day here. Yeah, us in Florida and Arizona, it sucks to be all y'all in Chicago, you know what I mean?
I'd rather not be up there, single digits.
Well, let's go ahead and talk, get your perspective on, we got, a good, probably 7-8 more minutes in this segment. I'm going, all right, let's give Matt his say, man. Go for it.
Okay, well, WikiLeaks, of course, is a situation, a website which was started back in 2006 by one Julian Assange. And basically what he does is he started out taking information not just from the United States, but from countries in Europe and other countries around the world, sensitive information. Some of it wasn't secretive to begin with, nor was it classified. And he would put it up on his website and offer it for sale. Now, you could buy it through Amazon.com, PayPal, MasterCard, Visa, or you could send the guy a check. We first found out about WikiLeaks back in 2007 when one of his cohorts that had worked there and started the website with him went off and started his own website called CryptoMe.org, CryptoMe.org, which is also a for sale site information. Now, what we found out and how WikiLeaks came to the forefront was this gentleman had an agenda, and his agenda was one that could be tied to one George Soros, who had originally given money to Julian Assange to get WikiLeaks up and running, and on at least two other occasions has also given him money to keep himself going. And I'm talking about serious amounts of money. We don't know exactly, but we believe it was in the tens of thousands of dollars. Also, when he did release the information that's become viral in July, in September, and of course, going on into October, and more leaks of information today is up November, December. The first information that he released was about the Iraq War. Well, when the information came out, it was kind of funny that included in the files, which the media, the old stream media chose to ignore the fact that there was a whole section in there about Saddam Hussein's WMD program and the fact that he was, in fact, seeking WMDs, did have a program in place, And as far as where the WMDs went, it was believed, based on the communiques that I've read, that I've seen, that I paid for, that they went to the Baca Valley over in Lebanon. All that being said, we're at the point where we are today, where finally the information he's releasing is coming from our State Department, which is affecting the way that we do business with our neighbors and our enemies around the world. And we're finding out all kinds of great things about how the Arabs wanted Iran removed from the nuclear scene. They wanted attacks brought on there. Also, I might add that when those first papers came out against the military and disclosing our military routines and secrets and how we treated enemy combatants, it did affect our troops initially. The rate of attacks in Afghanistan almost tripled, and they intensified to an all-time level. They did the same thing in Iraq, but in Iraq you've got an army that's much better equipped, and I'm talking about the Iraqi army, and they quashed it. In Afghanistan, it's still going on. So that's the gist in a nutshell right there.
Okay, and your problem is what? I mean, you could say this about a lot of media. You can say this about the New York Times. You can say this about the Pentagon Papers. You can say this about, you know, information to American people that would affect our foreign policy and a lot of other things. So I'm wondering, you know, my question is, of course, is what would you rather have happened? What would you like to have seen? This information not be available? I'm not really understanding what your alternative would be.
Well, I'm not saying the information shouldn't have been made available if it was okay to release it, but there's a process that you go through here to get classified documents or to get documents that are rated secret in order to publish them. You don't just merely purchase them from an Army PFC who, oh, by the way, if you think he was operating by himself, I've got a bridge I'll sell you over the Hudson River in Dallas, Texas. We know there were 60,000 incursions made by flash drives and by CD discs. We know that now. That couldn't have possibly done in the time frame allowed by one person. There are other people that are involved in this, and military intelligence is taking the lead on this. So maybe military intelligence will be able to find out, and I wouldn't be surprised to hear about some civilians being named in Washington somewhere along the line, would you?
Nothing surprises me anymore. You know, my question is that we have wars that we're engaged in that was based on information that we find as time passes was not accurate. Well, you have an opportunity to see what was really going on, what the rhetoric is between the State Department and other people, what the military is really saying, what other countries really wanted. And I give you a good example. Like you say, the other Arab countries wanted Iran taken out. Do we want their nuclear capability done, even whether it's for civilian or not or whatever? But all I see is justification for what was Ron Paul was accused of during his presidential run. Well, what are you saying? You want the other side, the enemy, to be the ones that determine our policy and so on? And then when it's to the benefit of some people, they're going, it's exactly what they wanted. They want whatever it is Israel wants. And if Saudi Arabia agrees with Israel, well, then we're on the same side. But it never comes down to what I want. You know, first off, I need the information to even know what the heck it is I want. And the other thing is I'm going, can I not, you know, like be part of going bombing and killing people? Because what we get in, we just had this big TSA thing. And you have people, we're going to opt out. We're not going to, well, we got to do the pat downs because people want to kill us. And I remember Dr. Paul was on CNN or Fox with some representative from the Bush administration had got up there just a few weeks ago, and they said, they want to kill us. There's a danger here. We have to go through this stuff. And he goes, but why do they want to kill us? I don't care why. Why doesn't matter? You know, it's because, well, you know, that's the end of the discussion. And if we're socially and economically engineering people around the planet and they don't like it, are they allowed to complain? Are they allowed to resist? Well, we have people here resisting, and we got the WikiLeaks. So, I mean, regardless of what our opinion is, either way, you know, this battle is engaged, and it's going to get worse. And you're going to have the hackers going after this, and the people releasing, and them arresting, and them shipping them off wherever. That's what we're going to be talking about when we come back here with my guest, Matt Bruce, here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
And we're back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and my guest, Matt Bruce. He's host of the Captain's America radio show. And, you know, he's invested in this thing. I mean, you know, he's been a fireman. He was one of the first responders in 9/11. You know, he was injured there, and it seems like they're taking care of him. He's also hosting a show, Troop Talk Radio, sponsored by the Department of Defense. So you can see kind of, you know, he seems like an articulate individual that's got an opinion. But the one thing that I kind of want to dwell on just a little bit is when you talk about there's a process by which we are able to get this information out to the public. And I would imagine it would be first like, you know, freedom of information requests or asking the State Department or the government or Department of Defense for this information, I would imagine, right?
Yes, that's part of it. You submit a public information request, and then if a document is classified or a document is secret, then they go through the process on the other end to see if they can declassify it and release it.
And you're satisfied with that?
I have been for years. Yes, I used it in the military, but unfortunately that process was not adhered to with these WikiLeaks.
And do you think that we would get the information that we need that way? Or, I mean, we have a lot of things that have happened over the last decade that has put us into situations where we have your sons in danger. And I have to ask, I mean, when we talk about the war and we do all these screenings and pat downs and surveillance and your bank accounts and the police state, de la, whatever, and I'm going, if we just weren't involved in all this stuff, all this goes away. You want to do away with all the surveillance and everything and the radiation and the blah, 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 blah. I'm going, we'll stop bombing people. Do you see that as a requirement of our empire, is that we need to be over there? Or I got to ask this question. Am I allowed not to care what happens in the Middle East? Am I allowed? I mean, whatever impact it's going to have on me, I guarantee it's going to be economic. You know, I'll buy here or I'll buy there. I get to vote with my wallet, you know, but I'm not allowed. I have to have all of this money, all of this attention, all the foreign policy, all of this engineering socially and economically here at home and overseas and pay for it. And I just had my second grandchild and I'm going, you know, they've indebted this kid for like ever. We're a tax slave. And I'm wondering, does your philosophy that you operate by allow for us not to be involved outside our borders?
No, I think America should be involved, and every American should have the same privilege and right. This is the greatest place on the face of the earth. We do have freedoms here that they don't have in other countries. And if you just go about the right process in which to get this, we wouldn't even be talking about WikiLeaks.
Why?
Because they would have gotten the material that they would have gotten properly. We wouldn't have been talking about somebody that got arrested in England facing extradition back to Sweden, where, oh, by the way, they have a treaty that they could actually extradite him to the United States. And if you don't think that's not going to happen, I do believe it is going to happen. I believe it's all been conjured up that way. But this wouldn't be illegal. The items would have been out there, not necessarily all the items, because I'm sure that some of the military documents about the way we interrogated our prisoners, the enemy combatants on the field of battle, wouldn't have been released, because the enemy doesn't need to know that. They've used that as a recruiting tool.
Well, I agree. They certainly have. And I'm wondering, you know, I want to be very nice of you to come on the show, and I appreciate, I want to get the other side, the perspective that you have, and you have a very unique perspective. Here's someone that is a first responder to 9/11, in fact, was injured. You have a talk show that you're able to express your opinion, and you do so for Department of Defense sponsors, you being able to give this message to troops, I'm sure, for positive morale. And you have a son that's in the Marines in Afghanistan on his third tour. Well, what is his duties? What are you allowed to say about what he does?
He is a combat battalion commander, and his unit is one of the units that's on the hunt on both sides of the border, Afghanistan and Pakistan.
Are they satisfied with the their mission and their being able to accomplish it? Are they cool with what's going on? I mean, what's your son have to say?
They are now. When General McChrystal was replaced and when General Petraeus was taken over there to take charge of the situation, one of the first things that he did was he doubled the operation of the Predators, which is the best way to not have boots on the ground, and put the Predators up in the air, not only over Afghanistan, but over Pakistan, seeking targets of opportunity. Once we acquired targets of opportunity and people that we knew were bad guys and where they were at, then after we took them out with the missiles we fired at them, we sent our troops in to verify that we got who we said we got.
Well, now we have a situation to where the Department of Defense and DARPA and so on developed hypersonic craft that they can launch from Kansas, and within an hour, hour and a half, they can, you know, go anywhere they want. They don't even need the drones, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, is this something that you think is an advance you support?
Yes, I think it's a good idea. Anytime you can do something and not have frontline combat troops in the middle, eyeball to eyeball, gun barrel to gun barrel with somebody, and take them out with people from overhead flying, even though they're operated by remote control. And by the way, in my backyard right here, less than 30 miles away, is CENTCOM, which is where the Global War on Terror is operated from. And I've been in those rooms in there, and I've watched them flying the drones over Pakistan, Afghanistan, and even Iraq.
Wow. You know, I understand your perspective. And I mean, as a young man, you know, reading popular science and popular mechanics and a lot of science and innovation that's coming, like, wow, this is cool, man. We get rail guns on battleships. You know, we can go, you know, many dozens of miles and hit whatever we can do. We got all kinds of technology. But this is why they want to kill us. I mean, I would think, are we safer because we have the ability to take these guys out? I mean, you can understand the argument from someone that would say, for every bad guy terrorist you blow up at some wedding, you're creating a lot of other people that want to kill us. I mean, how's that rhetoric set?
They want to kill us because of an ideology that they have, which is called radical Islamic terrorism. These people, it's their way or the highway. Now, there's a lot of good Muslims, a lot of good Islamics out there, I'm sure, but the statistics prove that about 1 to 3% of the people involved in the Muslim religion are actually conducting radical Islamic terrorism. Now, if you take the billion people that we understand are Muslims and you do the math, that's over a million people out there sworn to our destruction and doing anything that they can to destroy us and destroy our country as we know it. That's their policy, and there is no bargaining point. They do not discuss. They do not back down. That's their point.
What do you think they think our policy is?
They think that if they do bad things to us, we're going to do bad things back to them. What they don't realize is that we might help them build a country over there in Afghanistan if they would just merely back off and see what it is we're trying to do. For example, there's one paved road in Afghanistan. They call it Afghan Highway 1, just because it's the only road that's there. Everything else, half the time, you can't even travel on a vehicle in some of the remote places.
Well, where we're going, there aren't any roads. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with my guest, Matt Bruce, thecaptainsamerica.com, talking about the WikiLeaks. We'll get to that in the next segment. You guys stay right there. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com here in Phoenix, Arizona, hey, where it's very nice. I'm also going to another very nice place in Florida with my special guest, Matt Bruce, host of the CaptainsAmerica.com and a show on Troop Talk Radio for the Department of Defense, keeping the morale up, where he has a son in Afghanistan on his third tour as a Marine. Now, you know, in the next segment, we're going to have Gerald Celente is going to come on, Trends Research. He's going to try and scare us some more, as if we need more scaring. So we'll go ahead and get back to him in just a little bit after this segment. But I want to go ahead and finish up with Matt Bruce here. He's very kind to come in and share his perspective with us. You were saying in the last segment that if the Afghanis would just just allow us to do our work, that they would benefit from coming into the fold of something. And I'm kind of that's kind of the attitude that I think that the government probably has for us here at home. If we would just stop complaining, if we would just let the plan evolve, we would all be better off. And if they got a plan for the people in Afghanistan, I would imagine they got a plan for us here at home. I'm just wondering, what's the plan?
Well, first of all, the United States and Afghanistan is the difference between day and night, because the people in Afghanistan literally are living in the Stone Age. The educational level over there for women is almost non-existent. The educational level for men over there is about that of an elementary school education, and with little exception, that's hardly changed. Obviously, we have an educated society. We have a society that borders on freedoms, freedom of speech, which is what we're exercising here right now. In Afghanistan, with the Taliban under Sharia law, if you render an opinion that's not an opinion that's shared by the people in power, you either lose your life, you're either stoned to death, or you get a hand chopped off or a tongue cut out or whatever. The difference is we are...
Or you get WikiLeaked?
Not necessarily. I don't think that they... if it hadn't been for the fact that Al-Qaeda has the ability to be able to receive the WikiLeaks documents, just like the we did and I did, you probably wouldn't even know about WikiLeaks over there in Afghanistan. But they've been using it as a recruiting tool to go after the people that are making $30 a year, $40 a year.
They are standing on their street corner with an M16 as a recruiting tool. I mean, come on, man.
I might stand on their street with more than an M16. I might be sitting there with a Bradley tank. Here's the thing. We're dealing with people in Afghanistan. We're dealing with people in Iraq. We're dealing with people in 130 countries around the world that are part of this radical Islamic movement that is sworn to our destruction. They don't want anything to do with us or anything that we do. All they want to do is kill us.
Why?
Because we don't adhere to the Sharia law and their way of Muslim theology. That's why.
Okay, so I'm you see us prevailing in this.
I see us prevailing from a force of might versus right, so to speak. You know, we've got the bigger guns, the bigger weapons, but as far as changing the methodology and the opinion of the people, I don't think that's going to happen. I think we need to do what my good friend and former commanding officer, Major General Paul Vallely, talked with me about, and that was develop the lily pad strategy. Take our troops and move them back instead of these forward operating bases into the safer areas in the city and use our predators and use our air supremacy to locate the targets. And then when we need to, when something goes down out there in the forward areas, send our men out there, drop them in to see what it is that's going on and what it is that we took out. It would save our casualties. We need to fight smarter, if there is such a thing.
Well, I say there's not, but I'm still willing to listen. You know, this is every bit of this. I mean, I'm just giving you my perspective. I mean, I'm not trying to convince you. I just want you to understand why I'm so convinced. You know, I'm just if we were the recipients of such. Attention. I just know that people exactly like you, exactly like me, would resist. I'm just wondering why we would think that not only that they would stop resisting, or that we can convince them not to by bombing them more and more efficiently. Or so. I don't see how this ends. I mean, other than economically, we're just going to fold. The empire is not going to be able to maintain its presence around the world like it is. It's just going to stop just because we're broke. You know, so at the end of that, we're going to lose any kind of moral high ground that we have. We're going to lose any kind of influence we have with other countries. We got Russia and China off the dollar now. Europe is going to fold. We're in a bad way. And I'm wondering what would be your solution. As things sit now, you're the solution. We could fix everything if we what?
Well, first of all, as my son has told me on the ground in Afghanistan, there are people there, and a lot of them are just plain and simple farmers. The people that are up there that grow the opium, for example, that if they weren't forced to do that, because that's the way that they can make $1,000 or $2,000 a year versus $30 or $40 a year, if they had another way to do that, and we showed them how to grow, let's say, corn, let's say rice, let's say potatoes, let's say carrots, let's say apples, just something like that, so they could feed themselves, that might be a better way to go. And there are people receptive to that, and my son has told me that there are a lot of people that would like to do that and not do the other thing, because that brings in the Taliban, because the drugs that are grown, the drugs that are sold there, is what's used for the Taliban to buy their weapons to do what they do in that country.
Well, I know a lot of people that know more than me is saying it was the Taliban that eradicated a lot of the opium crops to begin with, you know, and then we go in, you know, a lot of people say it was because of that. And then we have, you know, the oil pipeline, and we needed somebody that was willing to sign over the rights for us to be able to blah, blah. It's all more social and economic engineering of them. And the reason empires go to Afghanistan to die is because Afghanistan refuses throughout history to ever be anything more than just tribes on their dirt roads. They don't want us there. They don't want to be one people. In fact, they can't. You know, they're just totally, ethnically, they're just so diverse. But, I mean, we could force it on. We could just nuke them all. I mean, we could, you know, do something like we can be an empire of conquest. But that comes with a cost. And, you know, it always spirals down. And I'm still trying to get from you a perspective on if you had your wish, what you would want would be more effective targeting of people that you want to target, but then you got to know who to target, and after you target them, you got more guys to target. I mean, does that conflict enter your rhetoric?
Well, here's the thing. We know where Osama bin Laden is. We know where the Mad Doctor is. We know where Mullah Omar is. If we were given the opportunity and Pakistan says, well, we won't let you put troops on our ground, we won't let you do this, we won't let you do that, we won't let you fly over. This is also the same area where the energy material known as lithium is. What do we use lithium for around the world?
Electronics, magnets.
Batteries.
Yep.
Batteries. That's the big attraction right now with the electronic car, with everything electronic. There are business people, lithium people, if you will, energy people that are chomping at the bit to get into there. Where's this area at? It's apparently right where Osama bin Laden, Mullah Omar, and the doctor that hangs around is in the same area. We need to go in there, target those people, because, again, if you remember when it came to WikiLeaks, they said if you cut off the head of the snake, referring to Iran, if you cut off the head of the snake, we would be all for that. Well, let's cut off the head of the snakes, and let's start with Mullah Omar. Let's start with Osama bin Laden, who, by the way, we should have had by now, as well as the Mad Doctor, because, again, we know the area that they're in.
Okay, I got to bring up this point. We heard this from, Fife, I believe. They're going in, or Wolfowitz, and he's going, you know, this war is going to be cheap, man. We're going to go in there. We get access to all these resources, and they'll pay for itself. Heck, maybe we make some money. You know, and the fact that the morality of it didn't even enter into it. So I'm just going, is that what's going to motivate us? Well, then I guess Africa is in big, deep trouble because they got a lot of goodies we might want. All right, well, you know, it was a pleasure talking. I appreciate you being a good sport, Matt, and giving us your perspective. And maybe we'll talk again in the future. That'd be all right?
Not a problem.
Thanks, Matt. Matt
Thank
Bruce
you.
From the CaptainsAmerica.com radio show. Whoa, we'll be right back with Gerald Celente.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day here from the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com in Phoenix, Arizona. We have on the line right now Gerald Celente. Gerald, you know, we got a short segment with you, and I want to talk about everything, but the bottom line is, you know, it's going to get bad. We have Bernanke saying, yeah, we're going to be printing more money. Heck, we'll print more money in the future. It's all about, you know, us making more money for you to whatever give to our buddies. So that means what for us? What's going to happen?
We're looking at a global meltdown. Let's pretend we're having a game of cards. There are four of us sitting at a table, and two guys are passing cards under the table. That's what the Federal Reserve is doing. They just passed, what, over $3 trillion worth of our money around the world to prop up their friends. This is the greatest bank robbery in world history, and the banks are doing the robbing. There's riots going on in Greece. There's protests in Italy, in Spain, in Portugal, in Ireland, in England. The whole system is collapsing. They can't keep the EMU, the Economic Monetary Union, together, and they're not going to fix it by printing more fake money. The central banks, Bernanke's only one of the bandits, are bringing down the global economic system with this phony money that's not worth the paper it's not printed on. The greatest depression is underway.
I'm with you, brother. I mean, I've been saying the greatest depression for a couple of years, and I'm telling you, there are so many signs for this a-coming. And one of them is, I want to talk what you know about J.P. Morgan and always accusations of them manipulating the silver market. Then we got Max Keiser out there. Let's go buy silver and put the final nail in their coffin or something. I mean, you have an opinion about
it? Yeah, I'm with Max on this, and among a lot of things, I'm on board with him. And this is one of them. It's similar to what the French tried to do yesterday, but failed to do, but it doesn't mean it won't work in the future, and that is to start pulling money out of the banks. And my slogan, by the way, in the Trends Journal for 2011 is break the chains. We're never going to be free until we really break the chains, buy local and bank local. Yeah, buy all the silver you can afford if that's what you want to do. I'm not permitted to give investment advice, but as an advice to help bring down J.P. Morgan Chase. And if you want to really get angry, go online and look at the New York Times. They call themselves the paper of record. Look at their magazine front page story this past week of J.P. Morgan Chase's CEO, Jamie Dimon. You read it and you want to call it the toilet paper record, because the guy that wrote it is really a wipe up. I'll tell you that. This guy, his nose must be so brown. And then he writes, after you keep reading this thing, oh, by the way, my mother and his family are then the best of friends. You want to talk about a puff piece, and you want to talk about why. And then read the comments that people posted on the New York Times Magazine piece of Jamie Dimon. After 138, they took him off. They're running about 10 to 1 against him, but not only against him, I mean vehemently against him. So, yeah, do anything you can to bring down the banks, because I'll make it really clear, if you don't bring them down, they're on the way to bringing you down. You know what they call austerity measures in Europe? Here's the deal. It's really simple. The banks are in trouble. They made a lot of bad bets. They want the taxpayer to pay the bad bets. So here's what they do, and this is all a politician is. A politician says, listen, I want you to go to work in the morning. I don't care if you hate your job and your kid's sick, take care of them. That's your problem. Oh, and by the way, that commute, I don't want to hear you complain about it. And a lousy job you have that you can't stand and you're only taking because it pays the bills and covers your insurance, just shut up and do the work. Oh, and stay late. And then give me your money. Give me your money. I'm going to tell you what to do with your money. That's what they're doing in Europe. That's what they're doing in the United States. And what they're doing then is they're saying, we're going to cut your pay. They cut the minimum wage in Ireland to bail out the bigs. And they increase the taxes. And they cut the benefits. And they're doing it worldwide.
Well, they're going to be doing it here in America, every level of government. We're starting to see where we have municipalities are firing firemen and policemen and teachers, and it just goes on and on and on, and it's like it's not reported. It's like it's not happening. And, I mean, do you think this is going to get more common?
It's happening. As you said, look at the unemployment numbers. They were supposed to have a rise last month. We were going to see what? I believe it was 150,000 jobs created, and they created 39,000. The gap between the rich and the poor is the widest in the U.S. of any of the industrialized nations. Why would anybody believe Bernanke about anything? If I had a track record as bad as his, they would have laughed me out of business. This clown admits they didn't see the panic of 08 coming. We took the domain name out, the panic of 08 in 2007. We were so sure of it. If you were watching, you could see it coming. He said that there wouldn't be a subprime mortgage crisis. He said that real estate prices would not go down. They've never gone down nationally in modern history. This is all being reported. He said in 2008 there was no recession. And now he's saying that things are under control. We're losers in government. They're losers at every level. I'm sick and tired of hearing all of these people, the defense secretary, the guy running the show, the Petraeus, this one and that, about, quote, progress being made in these wars. Progress equals stalemate, then defeat. The United States government are a bunch of losers, and the rub is that they demand your money. Give me your money and don't give me any lip. And if you do, I'm going to sick the IRS and the police on you. And that's what's going on. They're squeezing the people. You talk about cutting the police? Guess what? The police have become the enforcers for the crime bosses. You don't see them touching any of the big guys. You don't see all these SEC busts that are going on hitting the top guys. They pay off their mistakes. They pay a fine, and then they don't admit to any wrongdoing. And, well, look who they hit. Look at the cops in every corner. You go 5 miles over the speed limit, boy, are they cracking down on you. They just arrested a woman in New York for throwing a paper in the wrong bin, $100 fine. They can't touch the guys at the top, and the gangs, the street gangs, are too tough for them. So who are they going after? And that's what they're doing in the whole system. They're squeezing the little people.
Well, before we let you go, I want you to give some... I guess advice on what we should be doing. I mean, silver has jumped up. It's like double what it was a few months ago. I mean, are we still seeing a good buy and buying silver?
I'm only telling you what I do. We forecast silver and gold to continue to rise. Gold, our mark is 2,000 an ounce. We're not going higher than that because we think at that time the world governments will put some kind of a lid on it. And our forecasts are on our forecast page, trendsjournal.com. Go to the forecast page. I call the bottom of gold in 2001. At what we said the beginning, when it hit 275, it was the, quote, gold bull run had begun. And when we're telling people we're going to go into an economic winter the likes you have never seen before, look how much oil prices, gasoline prices are going up. They're going up because the dollar is being devalued. It's being devalued in front of our eyes. As I said, it's the biggest bank robbery in world history, and the banks are doing the robbing.
And we can what? I mean,
I take my money out of all the big banks. Only I have to deal with one of the bigger ones because we do a lot of international business and we do wire transfers. I buy everything local, and you've heard me on the radio and over the years, I'm 80% invested in gold. The cash that I have it hedged between dollars, Canadian dollars, and Swiss francs, because to me the dollar is going to go down. It's not going to be worth the money. As they said, the paper it's not printed on.
Is there any saving the dollar? Is there a chance? Can we?
Yes.
We can, really?
Yes, we have to. We have to get. We have to start building things in this country.
Well, I'm for that. I'm not sure it's going to be denominated in anything other than junk silver. But hey, man, it's always good to have you on, Gerald. Warning the people. Trends Journal Research, trendsresearch.com, trendsresearch.com. Gerald Celente, thanks for coming on, Gerald. We'll
hey,
be right
you,
back
Ernie.
Here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit with me, Ernest Hancock. You guys stay right there. We got a lot more to talk about, and what we just talked about in this last hour will be of interest, won't it?